I must say the following, and it might sound strange, but I'm extremely honored to be able to share the Word of God. Because for some reason, you know, when I know for sure in my heart, I know that the Word of God, when it goes out, you know, the Bible teaches us that it will not return empty. It cannot, because there will always be someone whose life will be touched, turned around, challenged, grow. God's Word is alive and it is well. It's not a dead word that goes out and it's there for the millions to hear. God's Word goes out, and it goes out with us, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to challenge us as children of God to be able to heed the Word of God. Not just to hear, but to heed, to listen, to obey. And then as we surrender, then it is that where we see the power of God at work. So for millions of people attend church on a Sunday. They go there out of the ritual of, I attended church for the day. But if we as children of God would allow the Holy Spirit to move and to work, we will heed, we will hear. We will not just hear, but we will accept the Word of God. And as we receive and we make it our own, it allows the Holy Spirit, through the power of that Word that goes out, the Holy Spirit to work and to move, so that we are accomplished that God has spoken over our lives. So today, you will see Joshua sitting with his book. He's taking notes of the sermon. So, okay. So let's just pray. Father, what an awesome time it was in worship. Father God, you are God. You are truly, 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 truly worthy of honor and praise, of our honor and praise. And this morning, Lord God, as your children, we just want to glorify your name, Father God. We just want to glorify your name, Lord Jesus. We just want to glorify you, your name, O Holy Spirit, as we just succumb to your word and your working in our lives, and we see your power at work to change the things that we even have thought is not possible. We come, Heavenly Father God, and we give you all the praise this morning in the first song, and we speak the name of Jesus. This morning, Lord God, we speak the name of Jesus into every situation. We speak the name of Jesus into everybody's life who we are praying for. We speak the name of Jesus into the life of those that are sick and those who are needy and those who are lost. We speak the name of Jesus. We speak the name of Jesus into our financial situation. We speak the name of Jesus for the situation at work. We speak the name of Jesus into our relationships at home between husband and wife and children. We speak the name of Jesus. And we know, Lord God, if we speak the name of Jesus, it is only in the power of the name of Jesus that things are turned around and things are moved. And Lord God, we just speak the name of Jesus into each and everybody's life that are here and those that are not here. We speak the name of Jesus. And this morning, Lord, Lord God, we just express our tremendous gratitude and our tremendous love for you this morning. And we pray, Lord God, that through your word that you will speak into our lives this morning, so that when we step out, that we are changed. We are changed, we are challenged as we heed, as we listen, but also obey to your word, Lord God, as we step out in this day and this week. We pray in Jesus' name. And so, amen. I forgot to say amen. I have a habit of doing that, and I see some people are sitting. I'm busy talking, and I see some people are still got their eyes closed. My apologies. So, last week, we concluded, and this morning, I'd like to speak to the congregation just on a word that I've received. And that is on the potential within. So if we look at science, last week we had to live up to the expectation. This week we're going to talk about the potential within. So science explains potential energy as an energy that is stored in an object. And I see some smiles from the younger kids. Maths and science, anybody science? Anybody want to complete the sentence? So I'm going to put you on the spot. We're not going to do that. So potential energy is energy that is stored in an object due to its position or condition. So we'll talk about positioning and conditioning today. Okay. But let's just quickly read the Word of God, and we are going to Matthew chapter 17, 14. Jesus, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and he is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And Jesus replied to them, "Because you have little faith." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you," Jesus said. Then if we move on to what I like is just what happened, what transpired directly after that. Verse 24. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma temple tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own children or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the children are exempt," Jesus said to him. But so that we may not cause offense, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish." Jesus is very, very direct. Jesus is Jesus. Jesus knows who his father is. Jesus knows who's the provider. Jesus is not worried or concerned about having to pay the tax. And Jesus is not saying, "Go and fish until you get what you need." Jesus said, go throw in the first. Catch the first fish. Take the fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a four drachma coin. It will take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. And then if we go to Luke chapter 13, in verse 18, then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to?" And verse 19, "It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched on its branches. So today, I would like to talk to you about the potential within you. The potential within me. The potential within your kids. The potential in the lives of others. The potential that lies within the people that we meet every day. Jesus is using when the demon was driven out of this boy, Jesus is using the example saying, but you have little faith. And then Jesus says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and I think I don't know if all of you've seen a mustard seed, because there's various varieties of a mustard seed, but it's more or less between 1 millimeter and 2 millimeters in size is this mustard seed. And Jesus said, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, that is about 2 millimeters in diameter on average, then you can speak to this mountain. So Jesus is talking to the disciples about what lies within. He says, you have the potential, if you have faith like a mustard seed, then you can do the impossible. Because moving a mountain is impossible. Is it not true? So to speak to the mountain and say, like, can you just please move? Normally, if you want to move this mountain of ash that Cecil created, you had to bring in bulldozers and conveyor belts, and it will take months and months and months to move that mountain. But Jesus says that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, then you will be able to do the impossible. If you went to Cecil's CEO today and said, do you want this mountain moved? And then he'll say, okay, what's the cost involved? So Jesus says that let's not talk about the cost involved. Let's just talk about that if you had the faith, then you would be able to move this mountain. So what I love about Jesus is he's not speaking a word and then it's just a word. Not long after that, the tax collectors are coming and say, hey, the temple tax, you have to pay. And Jesus says to Peter, go and catch a fish. The first one that you will catch. You see, I love this. Wow, what is so great about this is that Jesus illustrates his faith in what he already said. Say, I know the Father, I know who I am, I know who sent me, I know what God grew, but who I am. Jesus knows who I am, who he is. He knows who he is in the Father. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we don't have to kind of be worried about this. God created you. All God wants for you is to understand who you are within the Father. Because without being within the Father, we are nothing. But in the Father, we are children of God. God has called us into sonship. God has called us into sons and daughters of the Most High. And if we look at what we spoke about last week, from the beginning, God created all things. And when God created man, God said, go and rule. And when I said man, I said men and women. God created men and women. And God said, go and rule. Go and govern. All things I've given to you, you must rule over it. So God has placed us in a position of authority. Now, when it comes to understanding the potential within me, I've got to understand who I am in Christ and start living up to it. You see, it's great to kind of know that I've been created in God's image. It's great to know that God has called me to govern, but I never take the authority. God has given the authority. It came with the price of Jesus Christ. But the authority is mine. I need to grab onto it. This is where faith comes from. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of the things that we do not see. Faith is all about accepting the sonship that Christ has given us. Sounds simple, doesn't it? It's really that. But the disciples have been walking with Christ for many years. Now, they've walked with Christ, and yet when they bring this boy that is demon-possessed to the disciples, they are not able to drive out the demon. They said, Jesus, we, your disciples, we would have thought, so what, what the expectation was of the people around, we must also understand. So I'm a Christian. I told you the example of the doctor who said to me, but I am a Christian. He says, yeah, I'm a Christian. So if you do X, Y, and Z, he goes straight to the law. He doesn't understand that Christ has set him free from the law, and Christ has set him into a relationship with God. He's holding on to the law for his Christianity. That the disciples are walking with Jesus every single day. They see the miracles that he does. They see, they hear the word. Jesus speaks. They have a front row seat. You know, when there's a new movie released, there's a couple of people that are able to see it for the first time. They see it for the first time. Everything Jesus does, they have the opportunity to see it firsthand. But there's something about this potential that is within them that they've not yet, which is not yet developed. This mustard seed that has not taken place yet. There's something about the disciples. They've not yet accepted it, that they could also live by it. And they are children of God. They've not yet received it. They've not made it their own yet. It's like me giving you a present. You're putting it in the cupboard and you do nothing with it. You see, so what is the one thing that you would like? An iPhone 12. There we go. See, that made his eye sparkle there. So for instance, I take this iPhone 12 together with it because I'm the father I am. Generous. I give him not just the iPhone 12, I give him the latest iPad that goes with it, and then I give him a MacBook Pro with it. I put it in a box and I say, here, this is for you. He gladly takes it, but he does not receive it. Because in receiving, you have to open it and you have to use it. But he takes the box, he, for some other reason, he puts it in the cupboard and he stores it away. It's a nice to have. He tells everybody, I've got an iPhone 12. I've got a MacBook Pro. I've got. But it says, and everybody looks at him and says, but he's still looking, walking around with his Nokia 5110. You know, you won't know what a Nokia 5110 is. It was a phone that looked like a brick and you could kill somebody with it. Okay, so he still walks with his Nokia 5110. But he's got an iPhone 12 hidden away. He's not used it yet. So the disciples are walking with Christ. They are hearing. They are seeing. They are experiencing. And yet they are standing there and they could not drive out the demon. The man comes to Jesus, my son, very concerned. Jesus speaks and the boy is set free from the demon. So the disciples comes and says, why could we not do it? So it wasn't because they didn't try. It wasn't because they didn't put in any efforts. But the fact is, they didn't realize what they've already received. They didn't realize who they were walking with to the full power yet. So Jesus, you of little faith, you are not believing. So hence, because you don't have faith, you cannot do. Because I've given, but you're not applying it, so you can't do. So Jesus is saying, you have to accept who you are. The potential within you lies within Christ. Because we can do nothing without Christ Jesus living within, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I will give you someone just like me. So because we have got excuses, don't we? Because we don't have Christ walking with us every day, but yet he is. Jesus said, I will give you someone just like me. So not watered down, not diluted like Oros, just like me. I'm sorry, I will not use Oros again. So, not diluted. We've received Christ in his fullness, in the glory and the power of the resurrection. We've received. Jesus did not say, maybe not. Jesus even went so far to say as, you will do even greater things than what I have done. That's what I will give you, the power of the Holy Spirit. You will not be alone. The disciples could not because they did not have faith. And yet Jesus says that if you have faith like a mustard seed, 2 millimeters in diameter, then you would talk to the mountain and it will move. In order to live within this potential that God has created within us, we have to kind of accept it, receive it, open the package, open it up. So most of us, we work on Microsoft. If I had to work on a MacBook Pro, whatever it's called, I must probably first have to get the hang of things. And Jesus is saying, you've been given the gift, you've been created with potential, start working with it. You might not be great at it at the beginning, but the more you get into it, the greater you become. I always have respect for people who studied IT, because as much as you studied IT, you only really get greater and better at it the more mistakes you make. Am I right, William? I work with engineers. They only become greater at it the more mistakes they make. That's the learning process. And so it is with when we have children, we raise our children and we make mistakes along the way, but we get better at it. So the potential that is within has been given. We need to receive it. Not just have the package, put it in the cupboard, and when we walk out of church today, it's nicely stored. We take it, we receive the gift of potential today, we walk out, we open it up, and then we go make a change out there. Let's just quickly go to, we all know the story of Zacchaeus. I just wanna show you an example of someone who the package came, he received the package and immediately opened it. In spite of what people say. In verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down and at once welcomed him gladly. All the people, this is what we will get out in the world. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. God created us in such a way that we are unique. God created us in such a way to achieve. God is, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. God has spoken the word right from the beginning. So go and rule and govern. God has given us the authority. In Christ Jesus, we have received. In Christ Jesus, Jesus himself said, I will give you someone just like me so that you are not alone. When we step out in this potential, I like the story of Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus was a tax collector. People hated him. People hated what he did. He was a shrewd man. He was a man who took from the poor. He took more than what he should have. Everybody knew him. So in this town, people disliked him. When Jesus came and he was busy ministering, Zacchaeus realizing by the power of the Holy Spirit, he realizes, hey, hang on, I'm not on the right path. People are seeing this and people will automatically judge Jesus because of what He is doing. We always, sometimes, we get to work with people. And sometimes, we also work with people that are disliked in the workplace, disliked in the family, disliked for whatever reason. Sometimes we even dislike them. Sometimes we have people on the list that we dislike. Although with Jesus, who was called to die for all sinners, me and you and even those people that we dislike, Jesus came. As children of God, when we are called to live in our full potential, this full potential will sometimes be challenged. We love to work with people that are more or less the same. We love the people who would listen and not argue. It's always easy to work with people that will receive the word of God, especially if we speak to other Christians. And it's nice to speak, but when you are challenged to pray for somebody who is that dislikable person or despicable person sometimes in the workplace, it's difficult when something bad happens in their life to go and say, can I pray for you? You stand there, you sometimes wonder, that friend or that bully, it's sometimes difficult to approach the bully and say, hey, can I pray for you? It's sometimes it's difficult because people judge, right? People are judgerach. They look at you, they look at you funny, who you associate with, because you are being labeled by who you associate with. Jesus, who has all the potential that He's received by the Father, He received this in order to bring freedom to those that are lost. Jesus Himself, He looked at Zacchaeus and He says, hey, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to your home. I'm coming to your house. I'm coming for tea. And everybody around us, everybody around Jesus are judging. But why would you want to go to that guy? You could have come to me. Why that guy? You see, sometimes we've got to understand the potential that we've received. That Christ has given us is also for those that are lost. And sometimes those that are lost, and in fact, many times, those that are lost are people that we don't like. But God has called us into this ministry in Matthew chapter 28 to go and make disciples of those we like and those we don't. Because it is in that the potential grows exponentially. You see, we've been dearly bought. We have the potential within us. If we surrender through it, say, Father, help me grow my faith, that faith will be challenged sometimes by difficult situations. It will also be challenged by those that we do not like. And in order to live within this potential that God has given us, we have to surrender to the working of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes I have one specific guy who's begging on the streets. Joshua and him, they're very close friends. He always, when I see him and when we speak, he always talks about Joshua. Where's Joshua? Unfortunately, Joshua now travels that route, and sometimes I have to go this route. And we had a nice conversation the other day, because people are impatient. So as I'm driving up, he sells newspapers on there by Crescent van die Dood, here as you go to Van der Bijl Park. And when Joshua was still in the crash there, that's how we met. It's an old man. He's selling, in order to make a living, he's selling newspapers. And I've kind of, you know, I don't know what, it was just within me. I have a love for this man. So when I go there, I stop there, and if I have money, I give him, I buy a newspaper, or whatever, but I always make time. I'm concerned about this man. So when I drive there, the Holy Spirit convicts me and I turn around because so in the week I was a bit late for work But when I got there, the Holy Spirit convicted me. And the man behind me was impatient. He said, in the crowd, you always have those. And then your excuse is, now let me just move on. No, make a plan. You see, so the Holy Spirit works like that. Sometimes we have to make a plan. Sometimes we have to forget those that are impatient, intolerant, and whatever. So I'm standing at the rope, but it just turned green. I'm busy speaking to him. The light's green. And I say to him, don't worry, I'm turning around. So I go and I turn around. The impatient guy, he got his way. He doesn't have to. He's not part of the ministry yet. God bless his soul. I turned around, turned on the little island there. I went and he comes with his crutch and he walks over and we talk. And I said, how's things? And so we chat, you know, we talk, and he says, no, you know, quite sad. My brother passed away. And right there, you know, I could minister into that. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's sometimes we are going to be called out in the ministry to live to our fullest potential in Christ. This fullest potential is not just that you are a minister or you're a preacher or you are the manager or you. This potential within you is for each and every one of us. And the Holy Spirit wants to move and work through each and every one of us. And this potential, if we abide by it, God works, God moves in mysterious ways. And all he really needed was a little bit of advice, or he just needed a prayer, or he just needed someone to stand there and chat with him. But God works. We don't have to question why the Holy Spirit works. If the Holy Spirit says, stop and talk to this man, do so. If the Holy Spirit says, but go to that guy, go to him and go pray for him in the hospital, do so. If God says, pray for the bully, then do so. The Holy Spirit will work. We just need to be obedient. And as we grow in that, as we grow in the working of the Holy Spirit, even if we are obedient to the little things, the greater things comes. We need to take the seed, we need to plant it, we need to water it. This mustard seed can grow into any sort of tree. It can be 1.8 meters long, it can be up to 9 meters tall, it doesn't matter. You see, and is it because it's 1.8, it's less significant than the one that grows into a 9 meter tree? No, it isn't. If it remains a shrub, it remains a shrub as long as it is within Christ. You see, we've got to live to the potential that God has called us into. Potential energy is energy that is about to move. It needs a little bit of a nudge. It's got potential. Stagnant, it will do nothing. But with a little bit of a nudge, with a little bit of surrender, a little bit of saying, yes, Lord, this potential energy starts to move. God has created us with potential to overcome, to rule, to govern. And whether we are 1.8 or whether we are 9 meters tall, it doesn't matter. As long as we live within that we have been called, because it's living in that potential that we receive the fullness of God. That's what it is. God has called us. By name, we are His. You see, we've got to start unwrapping this package called potential in Christ. We've got to start opening up that closet, that suitcase where we put it in and hid it away. We've got to start opening up that suitcase so that we can start walking in the potential that we have in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't matter how small the beginning is, we don't know where it will end. You see, but all it really takes is obedience. We've got to know that God has called us by name, that we are His. We've got to understand that Jesus said, I will give you someone just like me. You see, on the day of Pentecost, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit moves in the disciples' lives in such a wonderful way that they start stepping up and walking into the potential that God has given them. We've got to get to a point where we say, yes, Lord, I receive, I accept, and I will open. Because many times, as children of God, we don't open that package of the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know why we're scared, but sometimes we're scared. We're scared of what others will think. We are scared of what others may say. We are scared of, I don't know what. Sometimes it's because we have not fully surrendered. But the main thing is that we need to start opening up the potential that God has given us. And that is what I wanted to share this morning. I want to share with you this morning is that, and I want to challenge you as well. Because you have to take the step. We have to start, as children of God, we have to start to make the move to say, yes, Lord, I will grow my faith by accepting and receiving the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life and then surrendering to it and then moving with it and seeing God at work in our lives. Seeing the freedom that comes. Being set free from worries, being set free from the things that stresses and worries us from day to day. Surrendering that to the Father. And saying, Father, I surrender this. And you know I'm stressed. You know I'm worried. You know by nature I stress. But Lord, I'm letting go. Let the power of your Holy Spirit work. And committing to that. And every time that I stress and strain about something, I take that thoughts, I take that feelings, I take it captive and say, Father, you need to reign supremely in this because you are God. You've created all things. And hence I surrender. If we want to experience the potential that we've been created for, we have to start saying yes to the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether you are young or old, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you fall on the spectrum. You've been created with potential. Whether you're going to start your studies, whether you're also already deep into your studies, you have to surrender at the power of God at work. Because then you will live up to be that God has called you to be. You will do great things. Jesus said, for you will do even greater things than what I have done. God has called us for greatness. He's called us to be exceptional. God has called us to stand above the rest. God is, why? Because a light hidden underneath a bed or a bucket cannot shine. That's why God has called us to stand up above so that people can see the light, and the light is Jesus Christ himself. See, that's why we have not been called to be mediocre. Impossible. We've not been called to be the lowly. That's not the truth. Because we have been called to be the light, to shine out the light so that others might see. Others don't see those that lie on the ground. That's why in a stampede, those who are lying on the ground dies. Why? Because they are not seen. You only see when you've already stepped on them. That is why we've been called to be standing high, on higher ground. God has called us to lead. God has called us to stand high so that His light might be radiant through us. And so that we touch the lives of others. May in this week be challenged. May we be challenged. I know I always like it when I preach, because it's many a times when I preach that I'm challenged. So when I share something with you, it's most probably the thing that I'm being challenged with. So I'm surrendering, and then all of a sudden I realize, whoops, I've not surrendered all. Now how do I deal with this? And then God says, the potential within you, stop succumbing to your worries or your stresses or whatever. The potential within you. And then she goes, speak that to everybody, because it's not just you that's struggling with this. So we have to live up to what God has called us for, what God has called us to. Because within us lives Christ Jesus. Within us is the power of the Holy Spirit. God has created us with this potential. We need to step up, receive, and run with it. And so, I'll see what this week is going to hold in. Funny things have happened over the last past week in my life, actually. So all of a sudden I stand there, and then God says, "No, step out. Step out." So I'm hoping and praying that this week, as God challenges you in the area that you have to step up in your faith, that when God says step up, that you will step up. I tell you, you will see, even in the small things and in the big things, you will see the victory come, no matter how big the challenge is, because God is above all things, and in you lies the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's just quickly pray, and then we will have communion. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father God, that within us lies such great potential. But we've got to receive and we've got to open it up, Lord God, to see the power of your Holy Spirit moving and working in our lives. I pray, Father God, that for us as a congregation and those that will listen to the word and online, we pray, Heavenly Father God, that you will challenge each and every one, Father God, into what that potential is. And to step out in that potential. And those that have already stepped out, Lord God, we pray that you will increase your favor, Lord, Father God, for what you have called each and every one of us, Lord God, to step out into the world, to make disciples, but Lord God, to succumb to the power within, which is in the Holy Spirit. Father, help us to understand. Help us to plant this mustard seed. Help us, Lord God, to nurture this mustard seed so that it might grow, Father God, so that we can grow in our faith in you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord God, we pray and we come and we just surrender all to you. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.